This time on Kawifi Radio, Aaron explains Mechanical Maid Marie.
And then he comes in, he's like, what? You got a problem with her?
So she's a human disguised as a robot, disguising as a human when she goes to school.
Yes.
She's a dude playing disguised as another dude.
Yes.
And we try to make sense of Angel's Egg.
They asked him, what is the movie actually about? And he just goes, I don't know.
Yeah, that was about to say, what was
yes.
the other question?
Like, it could be just favorite. Sort of like a stream of consciousness thing.
In 150 words or less, Tifa, tell me what this movie means to you.
Avalanche!
Tetsuo!
Kaneda!
Onita!
It's over 9,000!
Nani?
Configure the language logic interface for Japanese.
Kawifi.
Kawifi Radio!
Konnichiwa, and welcome. You tuned into Kawifi Radio, the podcast. We talk about the world of anime, manga, and all things otaku culture adjacent. I'm Kyle. With me is Aaron and Emma and Kenny and Tifa. Everyone's here. Kira Lee is still on her hiatus because she is doing some serious costuming. Go check her out on Animaniacs and cosplayers.
Animama.
Animama is her solo run at the moment.
What's her big thing at the moment?
She's doing a new Donald Duck, I believe.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, from scratch, so not using the existing costume.
That's, her first initial one was crazy.
Yeah, pretty amazing. Perfect. But this episode, Egg. Angel's Egg 4K re-release has entered cinemas around the world. We have thoughts. It definitely is... I don't know if we can say we'd recommend it for the story, but the artwork is phenomenal within it. An original film, yeah, there's a lot in it that's
I can recommend it for the art.
Yeah, but we'll get into that. It's very 80s. Also worth noting, this predates Akira, so there's a lot to take into consideration on what the world was like at that time when it came to animation.
It existed while Akira was still in its egg.
Yeah. Well, but it was still in its manga. If you're new to the podcast, hello to all our returning listeners. Hope you've been keeping well. It has been a year. Christmas is coming up for those that celebrate it, and Hanukkah, and if you don't celebrate any of those, then I hope you get the opportunity to get some free time off work.
You forgot Kwanzaa.
Kwanzaa. The other one. Yes. Socials, Patreon, all the details in the episode description if you want to support us. But let's get stuck straight in with what we've been watching what we've been watching of the year.
I have no idea how old I am or where I came from.
Daddy! Ohayo!
Egg time! I gotta go!
I have to know!
Hooray! I did the thing!
Oni-chan, nani wo miru?
What we're watching. We're keeping this...
Keeping that sting.
It's a new one, so yeah. Nice. Same with Anime Communique. They're all the new ones, so they're the good ones.
I don't know if we can still call them new.
Well, the newer than the others. But yeah, we're getting new stings for the new year is the plan. We've got a lot of work to do over the break, which is why this is going to be the final episode of the year. But what we're watching, Aaron...
We're
watching Aaron. Everyone stare at him, please.
That's a good call because Aaron does shady things when he's not being watched.
I'm staring at him through the screen because I think I'll be cursed if I stare at him directly.
Fair enough.
I got the egg going.
Aaron's been watching Mechanical Maid Marie. I am just tongue-tied this morning. This is airing at the moment, isn't it?
This is airing at the moment. It's one of this season's shows. Kyle, are you okay?
I'm fine.
Are you okay, Kyle?
Kylie, are you okay? But yes.
I have not heard of this.
So this one I didn't hear about either. Then I was scrolling through this season's shows and I was like, you know what? This one sounds interesting. Let's give it a look-see.
I think the reason we kind of went maybe not on it was because so this is about a girl who's pretends to be a robot, and I think when we first saw the trailer, you and I were kind of a bit like, it makes me a little uncomfortable. It was just a teaser trailer, so we didn't have any context.
What's its vibe? What's the deal?
It's very much a comedy.
Okay.
Because the whole premise is the main character is the heir to a great fortune. His dad's like a lord, and his other he's in.
Oh, so it's old timey.
No, it's modern.
Just lord.
Robots.
And then all of his... Because he's the... What's the name of the child that's not the official child of the the married couple, but like
I can't say because it starts with B.
No, the other one, like
illegitimate heir.
Illegitimate, yes, he's the illegitimate heir to the fortune.
I prefer and the B one.
It's why I frequently have to censor you.
The bees are exactly why we're getting new stings. So, with him being the illegitimate heir, all of his siblings are trying to assassinate him. So he doesn't trust anyone because humans can be swayed with money or influence. So because of that, he only trusts machines. So he has specifically requested a robot to be his maid and assist him.
Ah, drawn together by trauma.
And so she comes in because she's recruited by someone else, and she's a super famous fighter, like super deadly in the ring, but her issue is she never shows emotion. So she comes off as very robotic. And her mother used to scold her for it as a child. She's like, I scold you, no reaction. I praise you, no reaction. What am I supposed to do with you? And so she's got all this trauma over not reacting, but she can't help it. And then he absolutely believes she's a robot because she doesn't react. A clock explodes next to them, completely unfazed. Everyone else is freaking out. She's just standing dead-eyed, looking forward.
Ah, drawn together by autism and trauma.
Super autism.
Oh, dear.
Traumtism.
Okay, but obviously this is kind of leading its way towards a romance, isn't it?
Yes, because he feels like he's a completely different person when it's just him and her. He drops his guard. He's very gentle. He's very kind. At the beginning of the first episode, they get trapped in a burning basement. And she's like, I'll boost you out the window. You can escape. And he's like, what about you? You'll be trapped in a burning building. And she's like, I am a robot. Do not worry. You can collect my parts afterwards. Even though she is fully aware she's a human, she's like, I'll just commit to the bit. Because if he finds out, he's going to lose all trust in me and then I'm going to die. He's going to have me killed.
She's like, I can yeet myself out the window. Don't worry.
They end up rescuing her from the fire before it gets too bad.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Like, huge lie is the basis of their relationship.
Yeah.
On a man who's like...
has trust issues.
Yeah.
Severe trust issues. Like, he's...
I see no problem with this at all.
Yeah. So, like...
And hilarity ensues.
He also takes her to school as one of his classmates in disguise. Oh. So, like, all the other kids are like, oh, what's with you? You're so robotic. And she's like, my apologies. And then he comes in, he's like, what? You got a problem with her?
She'll fold you like a steel chair.
So she's a human disguised as a robot, disguising as a human when she goes to school.
Yes.
She's a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Yes.
Yes. Nice.
So.
Okay.
I find it fun. I find the whole concept fun. Like.
Look, it sounds better than when I initially saw the teaser trailer for it, because the teaser trailer felt like it was all focused on that, you know, hiding, you know, a huge lie.
Yeah.
Like, and it kind of felt a little bit sinister from the trailer. And I don't know if that was just because of the way it was translated, because it was in Japanese with subtitles, or if it's, you know...
I don't remember it at all.
No.
I think, like, now that it's out properly, you'll enjoy it if you sit down, give it a few episodes. Because it does, like, seeing them bond together, like, the reason she was telling him to get out and she wanted to commit to the bit was because she was developing feelings for him, because he's the only person who cares for her, because her lack of ability to express herself. And so she's like, he's the only person who's accepted me for who I am. So
he's like, you can't emit any type of emotions. I like that.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Okay. This was Crunchyroll, wasn't
it? This was Crunchyroll, yes.
Okay. I think... I don't know if anyone else has seen it, because this is another one I haven't actually checked out, but there's one called This Monster Wants to Eat Me, which is, I think, a Yuri one, but it seems to just be rising up the charts. I don't know what the go is with it. It's something we might have to check out.
I've given scenes of it a look.
It's beautifully animated.
Yeah.
But whether
the monster designs are...
Oh, there's actual monsters.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Like crazy monsters.
Okay. I think we might have to look into that. Okay.
I do like monsters.
Yeah. Moving on from Aaron. Tifa, Jujutsu Kaisen, you went and saw the movie.
I did, yes.
Now, Can you clarify for me, because this isn't a movie in like the sense of like Demon Slayer Infinity Castle. This is kind of a hybridization of the previous season and some other stuff. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's a compilation film similar to like the Solar Leveling compilation film. A lot of animes have been doing compilation films recently. Haikyuu even did one a while back. So it's becoming more of a trend, I think, just for marketing purposes to, like, get people hyped for the new season. But at least the wait isn't so long because the next season comes out next month instead of, like, Solo Leveling was, like, a couple months after. So it just felt, like, so long.
Yeah, you got the hype and then it just fell down again before it came
out. Yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, this could be used as a way to catch back up if you missed some of last season, I guess.
Yeah, so, like, the recap is only 30 minutes of the hour and 30 minutes that you have, essentially. And it's, like, quite fast-paced. So it's very fluid, the way that they put the recap kind of together of all these episodes. It's basically like, hey, so you know these big things that happen and want to see them on the big screen? Yeah, remember Nanami's hair pull? Yeah, that's on the big screen. Oh, you can see the 3D shot. Yeah.
All, like, you said, remember Nanami? And then I just remembered what happened. I was like, on the big screen? No, no, I'm not ready for that again.
Yeah, so like the a beach. Lot of the
yeah, I just remember like all the hotel what airline was it who was like, yes, come visit us, was it Malaysian Airlines,
something like
yes,
that.
Yes, yeah. Yes, because Nanami's dream was to go to Malaysia.
Yeah. Oh.
That's so good.
Oh yeah. I wouldn't recommend flying Malaysian Airlines. Like, they're not bad, but they're not great. But like,
at least for long haul flights.
Not for long haul flights,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But like their team is very culturally aware, which is hilarious. Mm. So
yeah. But yeah, so like a lot of those big moments were on the screen, including obviously Sukuna's huge fight sequence. That's obviously the majority of it. Yeah,
did
it was really good.
Did they reanimate it or did they use the existing animation?
So the thing was with the when those episodes were originally released, they weren't completed, which was a huge controversy at the time. And now the Blu-ray is out with the completed versions where it's undimmed, it's completely like animated and it's really beautiful. So that's what we get to see on the big screen. So at least it gives it the chance of the animators having that shown, I feel like, as well, because I don't think their complete work was actually shown at the time of airing, because they still have that old, I guess, like, scheduling, where it's like, okay, well, you have from this week to complete this, and if you don't, then you're screwed, and we just get what you get.
Yeah, MAPPA's very much a bit of a workhorse like that, a bit too much. But I wonder when the Blu-ray release comes out, does, because Crunchyroll's obviously got the streaming rights and then they obviously have the physical media release rights for the US. I wonder if they then update the ones on.
Yes,
they
yes,
do
they
with
do.
Some shows. Mm. Because this was
they
actually
stated
something
they
that
did
got brought
JJK.
Up recently. Yeah, it got done with JJK. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. That's good to know. I think we need to go back and watch those last couple of scenes then and maybe see the movie as well.
We definitely need to see the movie. Yeah. It's Jujutsu Kaisen.
There's an hour of new stuff essentially as well, but I think the downfall of the film was the way that it was edited in some aspects. It was like, oh, this is a bit weird, or this music shouldn't maybe go here, so that seems like a little odd. And I think some of that is because they're saving stuff for the actual season itself, so they're cutting out certain bits so that when you see the season, you get those parts. But I think the funniest part, actually, there are two funny things. One of them's maybe a spoiler, but not as much of a spoiler, but the other one being that it is the Culling Game arcs. There are rules, and they just went, yeah, no one's going to read that. So it's just like this compilation of just going really fast through everything, and it's like, oh, like just showing little random bits, and everyone's like, what? Everyone in the cinema's having a good laugh about it because, no one's going to read that. They'll explain it in the show, I'm pretty sure. Like, they'll go through it properly. But in the movie, no one's going to sit there and read all of these rules and regulations.
The terms and conditions.
Yes.
Season C,
yes.
Except. Oh, no, this says that if I die at Disneyland, they don't have to pay anything.
Oh, no. All privacy right. policy. The anime.
Well, Jujutsu Kaisen, what is it? The
Culling Game.
Well, into...
It's the Execution. I think it's called Execution, yeah.
Execution movie. In cinemas at the moment. It'll be a short run, but season three?
Yes.
Yeah, starts in January as well.
Finally Kaizen the Jujutsu.
Yeah. I wonder if we'll be 24 episodes.
It is. It's two cores.
Two cores? Oh.
Do you remember what the English name was?
That's pretty good.
Sorcerer fight.
Yeah.
Sorcerer fight.
So, yes, they are finally Kaizening the Jujutsu.
They're fighting the sorcerers. Well done.
I didn't mean to do that.
Oh, dear. All right, Kenny, I'll give you a chance to redeem your brain. You've been watching Can I Request One Final Thing?
Yes.
Or One Last Thing? One Final Thing.
I sat down to binge that while I was... I don't even remember what I was doing because I got so caught up in the show. It's fun.
It's good.
It's goofy. It's silly. It's mostly a lot of the same joke, but, you know. It's a solid joke.
That joke being, we like punching Kyle.
Punchy, punchy, yes.
Yeah, pretty lady, punchy, punchy.
Pretty lady, punchy.
We
Kyle.
Actually included that as a one of the questions for the quiz at KoshiCon.
Oh my gosh!
It's like, which one of these series does not feature an evil Kyle?
And I threw in a bonus answer.
Amazing.
But yes, it's just make me question a few things, like the sheer like amount of like different anime set in fantasy world which have slavery as like a main industry and a main point. It's just like, can you stop? Can you go and fight a dragon? Go and punch a dragon, please. Which she did, but...
She did, yeah, that's very true. She did that. So, next, punch slaves.
Look,
And like, yeah.
Slave owners.
As a long-time veteran of the Dragon's Dogma game, I appreciate anything where you just get to punch a dragon repeatedly in the face. That is wonderful.
What about using lances on dragons?
Get out.
I'm a fan of dragon lance.
I know what you speak.
No. Are you thinking Rain of Fire?
Arifureta.
Oh. That's not lance. That was a pile driver. That was awful.
Emma is blissfully unaware.
You don't need to know. Those who know, no. We will fill you in later.
No.
Okay, then we don't need to.
That's fine.
It's a red shirt thing.
Oh, God.
Tifa, did you watch Arifureta or...
No.
No?
Arifureta, it's like the guy with the white hair and he then...
Yes.
The whole class gets teleported to another world.
I was like, that really doesn't narrow it down.
I know, right?
It still doesn't narrow it down.
He has a gun. Oh, wait.
It doesn't narrow it down either.
He gets... Most of his party is just cute anime... Oh, no, wait.
He has really strong powers. He's got a magical arm.
He was betrayed. Oh, wait, no.
I know the clincher. The CG is so bad.
The Cabbage of Shame.
The Cabbage of Shame.
It did deserve the Cabbage of Shame that year, actually, but that still doesn't actually separate it from...
Anyway. Enough about Arifureta. Back to...
Can I request one final thing? Does not deserve the Cabbage of Shame. The animation is gorgeous.
Absolutely.
It's so punchy. Mm-hmm.
So beautiful.
Crunchyroll, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yep.
It's elegant.
It is most elegant, yes. Emma, you...
Elegantly punch with the pink extended.
That's putting out eyes. That's not punching. It's poking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Poking
Lancing,
mod?
If you will.
Lancing.
Don't say Lancing.
Anyway. Emma, pass the monster meat, my lady.
Yes.
Don't say monster meat.
Yes.
You binged this like over the last 2 days. I think you watched like 8 episodes or something.
Yes, I have done this. It's just really cute. You know, it's just one of those... Just one of those ones where it's like the girl who is, it's usually either two, right? She's either like it from a good family, but not treated well, or she's a tomboy. So therefore she's not a good match for any sort of man,
lies.
Allegedly. She is the tomboy sort.
And tomboy
it's
supremacy.
It's very reminiscent of yet another one that was a redheaded protagonist who was like, oh, I'm not good enough for anything.
Tomo-chan?
of another random
head. Dark and blue.
This isn't narrowing it down
of
at all.
Of another red head.
Whole class is teleported to another world. Oh, no, wait.
No, the other one. The other one that I watched with the prince and the... I know. Really, really, really.
Guys, I'm starting to think anime has genres.
And they're not shoujo and shonen. No, I married my sister's fiance.
Oh, yeah. I'm engaged to my... I'm betrothed to my sister's fiance.
Yes. But it's not annoying like that one. So in that one, she was always put down. So again, trauma. And she's like, I'm not good enough. And the guy's like, no, but I think you're really awesome. She's like, I'm not good enough. But this one, she's like, I'm actually pretty cool. And I don't know how I ended up here. But
I'm riding a dragon and going into battle against birds that I kind of want to eat. This is great.
So the premise is that she eats monsters. And in this world, it's kind of taboo to eat monsters, partially because of like a religion that's in there, and just also they tend to make you sick if you don't prepare them properly.
Yes, it seems that all of the monsters in this world are very, very infused with mana and magic. And
so, yes,
it's kind of like eating them. Bleh. Like yes. The pufferfish fugu, like you've got to cut it a specific way, otherwise it's not
so
good.
So her mother married into a
bureaucratic family.
Baronage.
Yeah.
Mini
kingdom.
A baron. Mm. And this area that's under the baron's control is very snowy, and the ground is bad. So
it's mountainy as well, isn't it?
It's mountainous. It's not very good for resources, like food resources. And like 17 years ago, there was this mysterious famine that swept across the entire kingdom. So the mother decided, what do we have? A lot of monsters. So I'm going to figure out how to eat them in a safe way to then feed all the people here so that we don't all die, basically. Mm-hmm. And she did so. She designed a magic way to... like draw out the blood and magic from them, so they're edible. Mm-hmm. So she's doing it for a noble cause, but she's still shunned because eating monsters.
Yeah.
Until one day she finds a sexy man who's also like, I will eat monsters.
And I will kill them and bring them to you to prepare.
Yeah.
Yes, this is one of the under princes, and he is very, very monster stabby. He's very good at slaying the monsters.
He has this whole thing. His kingdom is where a lot of the monsters like originate from. So it's his job to kill all of the monsters before they really can cause mess problems up everyone else, and he has too much magic. So he needs to use his magic.
He's got the evil eye. Yeah. By which I mean everyone thinks he looks really gruff and nice, and that's just because he frowns a lot.
But deep down he's got a heart of gold.
Yes, and very quickly he's like, I like this weird girl. I'm taking her.
She gets me.
It's very cute. It's very watchable.
Very.
So when I first watched it, I watched 4 episodes in a row because it's just one story. It's not like My Hero Academia where it's like, oh, do you remember last time you watched this? It would, 5 minutes of recap and then like flashback a minute later and all this stuff. It is just story. It knows that you're binging it and respects that.
It more reads like a book than like an anime, yeah.
Well, yeah, it's an ongoing story. It's designed to be continually watched. And if you just removed those intros and outros, you could actually just run it as a really long film.
Yes, it doesn't have the Monster of the Week format where it's like mini story, next mini story, and then slowly eking out the arching bigger story. No, no, it's just all big story.
All big story. Mm-hmm. I like big story.
So it's very good and it's very easy to watch.
Mm. Crunchyroll as well for Past the Monster Meat, I believe. This is the problem. When you use Google TV, it just puts everything on your screen and you click next. Past the Monster Meet My Lady, currently airing. I think, man, we've only got like 2 or 3 episodes for most things left in the season. So, of course, I'm not going to mention anything from this season because I've been reading Golden Kamuy. So this is the thing. I've heard so many people pronounce it different ways. It's K-A-M-U-Y. And in Japanese, that doesn't The Y is not normally singular.
No, there is no just Y.
So
what is
it?
It'd
be like an I.
I think it's got to be I, so that'd have to be Kamui.
I'm waiting for the
Kamui.
So Golden Kamui.
Well, I'm waiting for the Western live action where they call it Golden Kamui.
I don't have it on screen.
Oh.
Emma speaks the Japanese, the good.
It's okay. We'll get Kakashi in. He's got a Kamui.
Is it a golden treasure?
It's his manga Kyosho.
Oh, it's written in katakana.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Well, there we go.
That'll settle it for us. Hang on.
Yeah. So this is
like UI.
As we will mention later, the final season's coming up, and Kamui.
Yeah.
Okay. Kamui. Golden Kamui. That's fascinating. Cool. Kamui.
Golden is also in katakana.
Yes.
Yeah.
Goruden Kamui.
Kamui. Okay. So Kamui, not Y, is realistically what
I think it's just one I.
Yeah.
I think. Oh. Yeah.
Just one I at the end.
I wonder why they're using Y in all the English translations.
Why not?
Well, no. anyway, Golden Kamui has been running for quite a few years. The manga finished about 6 to 12 months ago, I believe it would have been the final chapter landed. Anime's in the final stretch in January. It is fantastic. It's a beautiful exploration of what Japan was like before World War One. It's set in the interlude between the Russo-Japanese War, so that when Japan tried to invade Russia, and before World War One. And during this period, the Ainus, the native, the traditional owners of Hokkaido, they panned in the river and ended up getting this massive pile of gold. So there's this golden treasure, which suddenly all the Japanese citizens find out about because of someone who joined them on the war, and a group of them start wanting to go and find it. Most of these folks end up in prison with the guy who knows the location, and the way he distributes it, which they didn't realize at the time, is he tattooed at them all, because back at the time, tattooing was... Well, Japan, the reason Japan doesn't like tattoos is originally Japan used to tattoo criminals to show that they'd been criminals. Mm. And this goes back over 500 years. And because of that, that's why tattoos are kind of a little bit, ooh, because they assume you're a Yakuza because of the correlation with it. Yeah. I know you're in big trouble, Aaron.
Tifa. Yeah, definitely a Yakuza.
Wow, he's a digital Yakuza with his Digimon. And his Pokemon. So
cut your ear off.
So in prisons, it was common for people to tattoo each other. This guy has tattooed the location of where the gold has been hidden on 50 different prisoners. But you've got to collect all of their skins to be able to put the full map together.
Got
to
catch them all.
Exactly. Now,
Got to skin them all.
Of course, there are ways to not skin a man. You could just trace it using, oil paper and stuff like that.
That's not as fun, Kyle.
Just draw it.
But these people are all criminals, so guess what's happening?
You got to catch them all.
So the focus of the film is a guy called Sakamoto, who's known as the Immortal Sakamoto, because he keeps a... Is it Sakamoto?
I'm going to say
I think it's Sakamoto. Yeah, yeah. Immortal Sakamoto. I keep thinking because I'm going, Sakamoto Desuka. he's looking for this. He was...
No, Sugimoto.
Sugimoto, yeah, thank you.
I don't think it's Sakamoto.
I think you're right. Sugimoto. That's why I'm getting confused. So Immortal Sugimoto, he was part of the 7th Division who were sent in basically to not a Normandy, but where's the place where we all run in and it was really stupid?
Gallipoli.
It was basically like Gallipoli. But in Russia, the general wanted it. He's like, we've got enough people. Let's just go there and just send them all in. And they're all running in against encampments and all that. It went very poorly. A lot of people died. Those that survived ended up becoming criminals. The 7th Division ended up being most of the people in that were the ones who ended up with the tattoos. After the war, Sugimoto somehow survives. Ends up looking for the gold in Hokkaido. Runs into a Serpa who is a young Ainu girl who is... also kind of connected with it. And yeah, hilarity ensues. There are people who are hunting for it. He's looking for it. There's about five different parties interacting. There are people who are in the military. There's a guy who has had his half of his face blown off. So he's got like a mask over the top and he's got burn marks underneath. Occasionally it leaks. He's like, I'm sorry, a bit of shrapnel was in my brain after it. So I don't understand emotions anymore. So he's really violent. There's a pair of old dudes who are absolutely badass. They're like from the old like guard sort of thing, like, you know, we're involved in the old generals and stuff like that. They're looking for it.
I feel like, what's more difficult, searching all of Hokkaido or finding, killing and skinning 50 like post soldiers?
You raise a good point.
Like, y'all just look.
Yeah, get a shovel.
Hokkaido's pretty big.
Harder than finding and skinning 50 grown-ass men
criminals
who are criminals and like old soldiers.
It depends on the psycho you send after them.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah, but do you want a psycho also knowing what you're after?
This is true.
Is it a well-paid psycho?
Maybe, but are they going to be patient enough?
Mm. Yeah. You get them all right, and then you're just like really bad at puzzles.
Yeah. Can you imagine? But yeah, look,
it's okay. One of the greatest puzzle masters in the world. Oh, he was one of the people he killed.
Oh no. But yeah, look, it's good. It's really good. There's a lot of Ainu culture included in it. You learn a lot of Ainu words. You learn Asurpa is really against miso because she thinks it smells like poop. And then finally they have hot pot and he drops some miso into it and she, you know, like she's like, I don't want to drink it, has it. And then afterwards she's like, poo tastes amazing. And everyone's like, and, you know, crying. They're like, but it's not poo. I'm glad you're enjoying it, but it's not.
Yeah, there does seem to be this throughout the anime from what I've seen. It's just the tone is a bit wacky.
Yeah.
Like there is the whole thing of this hardened bloody soldier charging through trenches and slaying people. There's blood everywhere. But then there's just sort of a random dopey comedy like that all throughout. And there's this scene I keep seeing of like the two older men chasing a guy down on a motorcycle.
Yeah.
And looking up a woman's dress in the process. It's just
like, yeah, he's like leaning underneath, his head's almost touching the road out the sidecar. And he looks up the dress and he's like,
he's got this like look on his face like,
just these twinkle moments of brevity.
Yeah, it's a really fun series. It is violent. So obviously it's got a M15 sort of rating. Obviously not for the kids, but it's very much a shonen audience that this is targeted at. And I can highly recommend it, especially with the final season coming out. It's a lot of fun. You learn a lot. You get to discover a lot of Hokkaido. But and we were mentioning this in the pre-show as well, which sign up to Patreon if you want in on that. It does feel like when you're watching the first season, there's a big lull for about like episode one and two is all this excitement. And then there's this lull when you're learning about hunting and the Ainu culture and all that for about another 3 to 5 episodes. And then it just accelerates. So stick with it. It is worth it. But yeah, you can watch that on Crunchyroll as well. And I believe it's on a couple of other platforms because we're in season like 5 now, which is the final season, part 2. But yeah, check it out. Highly recommend it. Anyway, if you've been watching something interesting this season, drop it in the comments section below and let us know your thoughts on anything we've been watching. But now it is time for Egg.
There on time. There's 20 minutes of ads.
Cinema Club.
Egg.
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 Angel's Egg.
Egg.
Tenshi no Tamago. 1985 film predates a lot of the big sort of 80s films that were popular in anime, such as Akira and, Nausicaa and so on. You can see a lot of the where this got a lot of inspiration for other things. It's literally classified as avant-garde.
That checks.
Mm-hmm.
We did not realize that when watching it.
We all discovered that.
We discovered it while watching
the
it.
The hard way.
So first things first, Tifa got to see it in cinemas because we, for some reason, didn't get screening here. What was the experience in the cinema like?
Okay, there's a few things to say about this
cinema experience. Firstly, I've never been to this particular cinema before, and their sound was not great.
Oh.
It was very loud. My watch was like, what is going on? Why is it so loud in here? And I was freaking out. And then I kept getting jump scared by all the alarm sounds because it was just so loud. And I think my watch thought I was having a panic attack or something because I was just like, what is going on?
Maybe you were. That sounds horrifying.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's because where I was seated in the cinema or something. I'm not sure. But yeah, it was very loud. I feel like if it wasn't as loud, then that like sound design would have been really good because there were so many unique things going on. And it was a packed cinema. There was lot of people in there. Yeah, yeah.
Really?
And that's cool. Yeah.
Do they know what they were going to watch?
Possibly.
I think so. Like, at least they knew who the director was. But the people behind me, I think they were on a date and the guy had brought the girl there. And afterwards she was like, what was this? And then he started over-explaining it. I was my dude.
just play it off and be like, oh man, I can't believe that. That was so wacky, right? Just go with her opinion, bro.
Yeah, man. It was really funny. It was a good cinema experience because you can see like all of the art in such a like clear and crisp way and see the entire thing. And it wasn't the Australian version, at least it was the actual Japanese version.
That's
the Australian version is called In the Aftermath.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it is footage from the movie interspliced with live action Americanisms.
It's a completely different film.
Yeah,
it's
really.
Yes, because they saw the original film and they were like, yeah, I don't think that audiences will understand what is going on. So let's try and fix it with live action, which I think just makes it worse.
It really does.
We should probably watch that next. We should have watched both.
Yes. I did watch it.
Yeah.
I tried to
YouTube.
Watch it.
It's on YouTube. The whole thing. Yeah. I don't think anyone has distribution rights for it. So.
I didn't finish it.
No one should have the rights for it. It is unto its own.
Okay, so at least from a cinema experience, the visuals are stunning, but I think we need to address the elephant in the room on this.
Egg.
It stars two nameless characters, a young girl who's protecting an egg, who bonds with a boy who has a dream about a bird. It's the first original project by, what's his name? Oshii. Mamoru Oshii. It carries themes forward that you'll see in his other works, but it's a radical departure from pretty much anything he's done before. It has almost no spoken dialogue. It's heavily allegorical story. It's very got ambiguous imagery, biblical themes. I think it's set technically on like an upturned Noah's Ark or something like that. Mm. There's a whole lot of ocean themology. The guy's gun is shaped like a cross. Like there is a lot going on here, but what's the quote, Kenny?
Well, he was asked about it, all the Christian imagery, and there was like heavy rumors that he made this movie as sort of like an expression of his own loss of Christian faith. And he replied to that saying, what? No. I wasn't a Christian. What? I like these things. And I have the quote here from the 1996 interview with the magazine America. Oshii stated that the film evokes elements that intrigued him, such as ruins. I like ruins. I like museums. I like fish. I like birds. I like water. And I like girls. That was his quote, and that was the basis for this movie.
There's another really good one where they asked him, what is the movie actually about? And he just goes, I don't know.
I was about to say, what was the other quote, Steve?
It could be just sort of like a stream of consciousness thing.
What do you think the movie is about, Tifa?
Oh, do the English teacher thing.
No, we're going to. Everyone
we're
gets
going
a go.
To, everybody. In 150 words or less, Tifa, tell me what this movie means to you.
Very simply, it's like obviously a girl is trying to protect an egg that she thinks is like, you know, something greater than it is. So she tries to protect it and somebody else doesn't understand her belief in it. So he tries to understand it. When he can't, he tries to destroy it.
Okay, good.
Yeah, very good. Makes sense. Cool.
Yeah, Kyle?
Egg. Egg, important.
Uh-huh.
Girl, carry egg.
Are you reading this off the screen?
No.
Girl, don't plagiarize.
Girl, save egg.
Don't plagiarize.
ChatGPT, tell me what to say.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
ChatGPT, my wife's looking at me angrily. What do I do?
Wow, that's a really interesting question. Have you tried talking to her?
Is it your anniversary?
About egg. About egg. No. I feel like it's meant to be an allegory for the end of days.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what I feel like. The egg is meant to represent the last hope of humanity. The giant spacecraft which comes down is meant to be an allegory for the travel to heaven and the death of the remaining people. I feel like it's meant to be that Noah's Ark went wrong. It got turned over, and that's God and the angels coming down in a sort of techno sort of vision to pull the spirits up of each of the people that died.
Techno angels.
And the weird fisherman it drops off each time are the haunting spirits of the fishermen who were on the boat and who were meant to keep the animals alive, who are still driven by their desire to hunt fish.
Mm.
And he is the reason the boat turned over.
I think the fish shadows that you see, I think they are a coelacanth, which is called the living fossil. We thought it was extinct for 65 million years until it was refound in the 30s. So it's like a living dinosaur.
It's like the oldest fish on the planet.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like the design of them really fits. But like, yeah, these weird fisherman guys are harpoon hunting these giant fish shadows. And obviously they're shadows. They can't get them. Mm. So
demonstrates the futility of man.
Yeah. As we said, lots of allegories here.
Kenny? Mm.
Two halves of a plane go down on an uncharted island, and the eggs have to struggle to survive. They find a hatch. There's some numbers.
There's a smoke monster.
There's a polar bear, which I didn't get, and it all ends in a church full of eggs. It turned out that it was all made of eggs the entire time, all of it.
Egg limbo.
We are all eggs inside.
Eggs all the way down.
Yeah. Yep,
yes.
Fair.
Together we are egg.
Now we have been.
I was watching this when I was very sleep deprived, so.
So that's actually what he thought.
Yeah. He's like, wow, this is a really weird episode.
Dominic Monaghan was it? That's so
good. All right, Aaron, what did you think when you were watching it?
I'm going to get yelled at for this. No, I guarantee. This is how I perceive Lord of the Rings.
What?
Yep. No, I told you Kenny was going to attack me.
Is this because you've only seen the extended editions?
It's just walking.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're not. He's not wrong.
Yeah.
He's not wrong. They're, one of the elements of Lord of the Rings is the journey. It's the scenery, the journey, and the compatriot, like
and
the companionship.
Friends you made along the way.
Yeah,
she made a friend along the way.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
betrayed her.
Was yeah. he really a
Boromir.
Friend?
Boromir.
Yeah.
I am not allowed to swear.
But this is like that's only part one. So that means we need Angel's Egg 2.
Return of the King.
Yeah. No,
Two Towers.
Return of the Egg.
Return
of the flying two flying machines.
Don't ask me.
We've been doing so well on our friendship lately, and then I ruined it.
It's time to go, Aaron.
You've been evicted from the island. Please take the polar bear with you. But yeah, look, no, that's actually a valid point. Like, from a storytelling perspective, this is all about the journey.
And it's very pretty as well. Yeah. Much like Lord of the Rings.
Stop.
Yeah. But I think we can all agree that Lord of the Rings' overarching story is much more clear and defined.
Correct.
Yes. So, but yeah, okay, that's fair. What do you think the egg is? Is it just like a random egg she found?
They have to take it to Mount Doom.
I think it was an angel's egg. I reckon she had an angel's egg and she realized it because she could feel it. And then when she saw that it was destroyed, she lost. It was part of her.
Mm.
Like it was somebody who was guiding her, and she's lost that. And then there's been like this shift where she's sort of become an angel of destruction. Death thing.
No egg, no life.
Yeah. And so because of that, she's done what Gon did in Hunter x Hunter, where he sacrificed everything for ultimate power. And then she spawned all the new eggs because she's like, I'm giving my life to bring more eggs.
I was wondering at the end if they were eggs or just bubbles ultra zoomed in.
Yeah, they felt like eggs.
They
but
felt
also,
like eggs.
Do you guys think that the girl is actually an angel?
Mm.
Or do you think, because Ida, she's not a kid. She's not a girl. She's not just a little girl.
Mm. Mm. I mean, maybe she's meant to represent like the purity that we associate with angels.
Well, I feel like she was meant to be the messenger or bearer.
Yeah.
When she dived into the water, she was no longer a girl. She was a woman.
But it's like, was she always a woman and he views her as just a girl because of her naivety?
Mm.
And then the amount of time she's spent in that area that she lived because of all of the glasses of water, which is supposed to showcase how long she's been there and collecting them if she collects one every single day. And there's just so many. How long, as he asks, how long have you lived here? How long have you been here? And it's like the amount that's there could potentially mean that she has lived so much longer than her age suggests as well.
This is true. This is true.
Yeah, when she dove into the water, I was like, oh, okay, so she's actually older than we believe her to be, and we're not seeing her as she actually is.
Especially with the reflection that was used, because you see that like her coloured reflection is the girl and the reflection in the water is, well, an adult.
Mm. A woman,
Also, like, this is a study in the color of blue. How many different shades
so
of blue can be used?
The film was like beauty for beauty's sake.
Yeah. There was a lot
well,
of
art for art's sake, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I will be honest, like, him saying that he likes museums makes me feel like he came up with these backgrounds and tried to find a story to pull them together.
Mm. Yeah, he just had like a sketchbook full of cool stuff and he's like, maybe I could do something with this. And everyone else was like, no, you can't.
I mean, no, it sold and it did, you know, catapult him onto doing bigger films.
True.
Well, at the time he said that people didn't, obviously they didn't understand it because he didn't understand it, but people, like, he couldn't get jobs for a while after that. He had to really prove himself for his next project because people didn't want to hire him. Japan thought this movie was stupid. Like, nobody cared for it until much later on when they were like, oh, maybe he actually is kind of a genius. Because sometimes art can just exist for the sake of it. Mm. It doesn't have to have a political story necessarily, but
that
it is a film
very
at the
80s,
same time.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
To not understand it.
Although,
because it didn't make anything tangible.
Even if I didn't
when
get
the
it.
When the 80s was greed was good, kind of thing.
Even if I didn't get it, I'd look at the style of it and think,
yeah,
give that man a writer and we could make something boss.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. That he, if he didn't get a lot of work, because he was an artist on Vampire Hunter D. So if you look at a lot of the posters for the, which came out in the same year, 1985.
Oh, was this
so
like,
he would have been working on them?
Oh yeah, so
concurrently.
Not Vampire Hunter D. Bloodlust. That was later. Yeah.
No, it's the 1985.
That's
original
movie posters. You'll see them, and they are very, very much the same stylistically.
That makes sense. Because, it's interesting that he was like, he's the writer, the director. He said he doesn't really know what it was about. But then after this, he then goes on to do...
Ghost in the Shell.
Well, yeah, the Pat LaBelle movie as well, Ghost in the Shell 2.
I have a fun fact for you.
Mm-hmm.
He also did all of the Final Fantasies.
Oh.
And
in
2020, apparently he worked on your favourite film, Gibiate.
Oh, no.
Do you want to know what's interesting? He's not listed... Oh, he's not credited as a writer for it. Is he credited?
He's a producer.
Producer?
Yes. For Gibiate.
Art department.
Jesus.
I would have had my name revoked.
I would have too. Like,
he was just trying to get as much work as possible, really.
Yeah.
I mean,
to
you
try
have
and
a,
do what he actually wanted to do.
You have a look at his work list, and it's pretty extensive. He was in...
Yeah.
He did Blood Sea as the director.
Hmm.
He was in, obviously, Pat LaBelle and Pat LaBelle Next Generation Tokyo Wars, which was not well rated.
Okay, hang on. His name is Yoshitaka Amano.
Oh, I'm talking
That's,
about
this
Mamoru Oshii.
Amano is the artist,
Amano is the artist who did Vampire Hunter D and
He's also a writer for this.
Yeah. So look at all his concept art for Final Fantasy. It is beautiful.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. Gibiate. Yep. There we go.
Yeah.
Doesn't look like he was in the animation department for over 10 years. Like there was a massive gap. He's been consistently in art departments for Final Fantasy, but he's not been in the animation department for a long time because he's been doing Final Fantasy for like a decade.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I switched to the artist. My bad.
Yeah, but look, I mean,
because I feel like this story is the story, but
there's not much of a story.
I feel like this movie wouldn't have gone anywhere without the artistry of
Amano.
It would have just been a weird film that everyone forgot about. But without Amano, it would have been nothing.
Mamoru Oshii, so the other part of the director and other writer, he was the composition and screenplay writer for Fire Hunter, which was a few seasons ago, which was a very different art style one about where the beasts had the oil and humans could combust and stuff like that. Also was the screenplay for Lupin the Third Part 6, which was only for two episodes, but that was the one in the UK.
Actually, that was one of the stranger pieces of information I found out about this movie, is that a lot of its assets and initial kind of like draft was for a Lupin movie.
Yeah.
It was that Lupin was going to be involved in a case which finds the body of an angel and he's going to start questioning his own existence and stuff like that.
That's way too meta.
For Lupin, crazy. Just the idea that this was going to be a Lupin movie, just every time I look at it now, I'm just like, what?
Well, I mean, it's the same thing going, how was Neon Genesis meant to be a sequel to the one...
Totoro?
No.
Totoro!
We did it a few seasons.
Eva eats
Totoro. Eva eats Totoro, becomes the god of death.
Totoro.
It's the other one that Gainax did before Evangelion, but they were sourced to do it.
Voltron.
The burning one?
No, it's the one which is basically lost.
What's the name? Oh,
yeah,
God.
Why? You see how it's a, like...
That was a sequel to that.
It was meant to be, yeah. Meant to be.
Kooky.
Yeah. Wow, the fact that I cannot even pull it from my brain is annoying me.
Did we ask Emma what hers was?
No, I was about to ask as well what Emma's...
Sorry, Emma.
Oh, what my mini essay is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Teacher getting drilled now.
There's a lot of things about it that I found there was no one concept to it. Like, obviously, I've shared the idea of us as the audience not truly seeing her until her death. But then, you know, you could have... The egg, when it was smashed, it was hollow. Yes. There was nothing in there. There was no gore or anything, so that...
I mean, that was also kind of out of shot as well, so we don't know if it was just, like, it had been tipped out.
Well, she picked it up, and it was hollow, and then we saw like an outer shot, and he had obviously smashed it so hard that it made an impact into the ground, and you saw shells everywhere. But it was essentially hollow, which, if you see the egg as like a religion, is the religion hollow? And then once she lost that religion because it was destroyed by someone who didn't believe in it, she then lost everything, basically. She lost that.
Or
was,
is it like this is a tangible manifestation of something, and like that in itself is hollow, like the use of a Bible or something like that. It's more what's the belief inside of you, so when she does dive in and that spreads, it's something completely like different, instead of just putting all of the belief into these objects and things like that. It should be more internal.
And then the ship leaving at the end looked like it had all the souls from the Ark taking them away, and it's kind of like she was venerated for her belief in the egg, because she was still there. She had the egg. So in her passing, her faith was still there, because it manifested in that statue on the ship with her still with the egg. So despite it breaking in real life in... you know, after she still had faith.
I wonder if the egg was meant to represent the seed of rebirth if everyone had died.
Egg.
Yeah.
And then that's, you know, man's folly is represented by the guy because, you know, there's the tanks, there's the weapons.
When she showed him the bird skeleton, though,
yeah,
that... I do wonder if he saw it as, like, Satan instead. Mm. She saw it as her savior, but he saw it as...
The devil.
The devil.
Mm.
So, two sides of the same coin.
Yeah. What were we talking about that was saying it would be weird to be a sequel to...
Evangelion.
Yeah, back to that point.
Lupin?
Lupin, yeah. So Lupin being related to this is like understanding that Nadia, the Secret of Blue Water,
was
technically meant to be a prequel to Evangelion. So that was... Well, Evangelion was meant to be the sequel, but they couldn't get the rights for it because Gainax worked as a support studio on it. So Hideaki Anno... was the program creator and operator of Nadia Secret of Blue Water, and then he went on to create Evangelion as a sequel, which is why a lot of the characters have similar archetypes. Nadia looks like Misato, for instance. You've got one of the ladies who is a parent looks like Ritsuko, the doctor. Like, a lot of those designs have been reused in a way, but different enough so that they're not the same.
Legally distinct.
Yeah, legally distinct. Exactly. But to me, that's like the divide that I have between them. Like, sure, there might be some similarities in like the way Castle Cagliostro's art style is done, especially when they're in the undergrounds. But outside of that, I can't see a connection. Mm. Like, especially like having Lupin question his beliefs in 1985 when he's only had one... I don't think he'd even had a film at that point. I think it was only the series.
Mm. Yeah, I think Cagliostro came out like afterwards.
I think it's like 87?
Mm.
Yeah. But yeah, that's also like a wild crossover just to think of. And obviously, like, a lot of people say, yeah, if we didn't have this, then we wouldn't have got Ghost in the Shell. And look, fair enough. Fair enough. But...
Yeah, it's none of us are saying it shouldn't exist, but it's just sort of like, I don't know if it was made for me.
Yeah. I mean, like, one of the reviews we see on IMDb is like, be aware that this movie requires more work than most people are willing to put in when watching. It's a tool to gauge one's own film expectations. So where some complain of the pacing, the glorious music and the art do tell a story. However, you know, it won't be for everyone. And look, that's... Yeah, only after I was forced to view a still image for an interminable amount of time and feeling the anger rise up in me as I imagined the creators of the film laughing at me, did I notice that it created the necessary tension for what the film was climaxing to. And that's a valid point, because that really long shot at the end goes for about a minute.
And it's just sitting by the fire in the bed while she's sleeping.
And then the climax. And the music used with it works really well. But... the version we have, which is an old Blu-ray release, does not have good sound design. The sound is too low. The voices are too high. It's a bad mix. So I'm hoping the 4K restoration has a better mix.
Yeah, when we started watching it, we actually checked to see if our speakers were working.
Yeah.
There's
no sound in the opening, and that's fine. Like, and you and I were discussing this in the chat, Tifa, like, there's nothing wrong with there being a lack of dialogue or a lack of sound. Like, that could be used phenomenally well in cinema. And we've seen modern audiences realize that when they saw the Star Wars scene where they put no noise. But the fact they then had to put up posters to say, be aware, the sound doesn't cut out in this, it is by design, tells you how much the audience's viewing expectations have changed over the past, 40 years.
Uh-huh.
Like,
I will say, though, with the sound design of there being complete silence, watching that in a cinema where everyone is literally, you can feel them hold their breath because they don't want to make a noise, is like an experience in itself. Like, no one's eating their popcorn. Everyone's just stopped and they're completely still because they don't want to disturb the sound. And then once there's sound again, you can hear people eat popcorn again. It's really interesting.
Yeah. An
experience.
Yeah, we couldn't have that experience because the cats were brawling.
I had a fire alarm.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Incredible sound design.
Wow.
This really feels real. And you were saying, Tifa, like, whenever the alarms went off in the cinema, like, as in, like, the alarm sounds in the film, not obviously like a fire alarm, that it was so loud comparatively. So I think...
jarring.
I think a lot of work needs to be put into the balancing of the mix. And, like, you know, it's not as bad as Tenant, where you can't actually understand the characters. But it's really... I mean, I don't know if it's meant to be that way, but the music in some scenes is louder than in others, and I don't know if
I think in the cinema, it wasn't actually that bad. Like, the music and everything with the voices, that was all fine. Everything was fine. It was just the alarm sounds, because I think everything was a lot louder than it needed to be, just in that cinema alone. But I think in the 4K restoration, they also looked at the sound design and fixed it up a little bit, so it was quite good, I think.
I might have to see if I can track down the 4K on, like, an online platform, like, you know, Amazon or Prime or something like that.
I think it's going to be on Apple TV.
Apple TV? Okay. Because that, like, I don't want to buy another Blu-ray. especially, like, no offense to the film. It's not what I'm looking for. The artwork is beautiful. The sound design, the character design, the... Like, the use of those backgrounds is just absolutely phenomenal. We don't see that level of detail in art for anime anymore.
I feel like so many things, especially from our childhood specifically, were drew from the art style or was inspired by the art style, that when I was watching it, I had this really strong feeling of nostalgia. Like, I know this. I've seen it before. But this isn't what I've seen before.
Yeah.
So I was, like, frantically trying to Google things. I was like, where is this from? Like, why do I know this? Why does it feel so familiar to me?
Yeah. I mean, for me as well, like, a lot of the, especially in the latter part of the film where you start seeing, like, the bone structures and stuff like that, I was immediately feeling H.R. Geiger.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure Alien 1 hadn't even come out by that point. Like, let me just double check.
That'd be
what
crazy if this...
No. This actually is after Alien. So Alien was 1979. So this was, you know, six years after Alien. So being inspired by the artwork, the use of bones to create, you know, structure and texture makes sense. And Geiger at that point in time was very influential in Japan. You will see a lot of that art style and design throughout a lot of the films and TV series that are of the darker or more mature tone at that time.
So, I think ultimately that's kind of the takeaway for this movie. It's that it's less about going to see a movie and more observing a sort of important piece of artwork in anime history.
Yeah, it's like art history.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah.
It's going to the museum.
Yeah, which he likes.
He would be so happy. Like
and yeah, I think that's ultimately the thing of it is that, seek it out and get it. If you're just sort of like a higher-minded person who wants to like... examine the sort of the history of anime and all that kind of stuff. I am the big dumb, so I don't appreciate it in that way, but
didn't you go to cinema school?
No. Yeah.
It's one of the qualifications for being on the show. You have to have the dumb.
You do. It brings us in line.
No, it's I can talk the language. It doesn't mean they're saying anything.
Yeah.
Which I'm not saying about this.
It says a lot that the 4K remastered was selected for the Cannes Film Festival. Like, that feels like the art house audience. As we said, avant-garde from the outsetting, it's like, this world is fascinating. I want to know more about this world.
And it, like, it attracts the kind of people who talk about the symbolism and stuff like that, because it is so rife and just in your face that you can't help but, like, theorize what the author meant when he talked about the red door.
Yeah. Is it coated in blood? Is it a sign of passion?
I want to paint it black.
Oh, thank you very much. The film struggled financially. It's become a cult classic because a lot of viewers were confused by it.
I don't get it. Watch it again.
Sorry.
Hey guys, I saw this movie. I had no idea what's going on.
I got that,
like Donnie Darko.
I got that around the wrong way. It didn't become a cult classic because people were confused by it. by it at the time, which is why it struggled. Yes. And then it has since received critical acclaim as a cult classic. It is a study in animation. It is a study in art. Mm. It's a study in symbolism, sound design, and museums. How, you know, the way you can make an audience feel certain
just study
emotions.
In patience.
That too.
It's just a study in.
I think I'm not going to lie to you. I think maybe I've just watched too much Netflix. So I was like, oh my God, they're not speaking exposition.
Yes. Oh my God, the exposition dance. We don't have to do it. We don't even have names for these characters.
It's one of those rare films where they don't tell you, but they also don't show you.
What's the story?
Well,
I don't
figure
know.
It out.
Figure it out. But look, this is going to be, I believe, on Apple TV and a few other places as well for that re-release of the 4K. The Blu-ray is going to be heading out to the general public in, I think, now. Well, why?
It's a fascinating experience, and it is beautiful. It's just... It's a bit odd.
The one thing I did notice, and that I'd like to a note that I'd like to end on, is that that guy must have really long arms based on how far his arm traveled up the tree. Because when it zoomed out to the shot, the areas his hands was glazing over were at the top of the tree, and he was like 3 meters below that. So he is Mr. Fantastic.
Yowie arms.
Kawaii Fire Radio.
Tonight on Anime Communique.
Great story, compelling and rich.
Nothing brings ratings up like a little controversy.
For those listening at home, we all have our arms up and we're holding a giant egg.
Egg.
Egg. Anyway, anime news time. There's a lot that's been going on in the world of anime news over the past fortnight. The biggest one is, of course... a controversy.
Yeah.
We need to talk about this. Nobody is happy. Amazon started doing AI dubs for anime. And they claimed it was all these AI dubs would be reviewed by a person. That is clearly a blatant lie.
Or it might have been reviewed by a person, then that person was us.
No, that person didn't speak Japanese.
That person was brain dead.
Yeah, like, it was so bad.
That
so
person was also AI.
They have, it was part of the AI beta dub. They've done it for Banana Fish, No Game, No Life, Vinland Saga, and they also did the pet anime and Journal of the Mysterious Creatures. They were listed in English and Latin Spanish dubs as AI beta dubs. Mm-hmm. And then Vinland Saga's anime stream listed its Latin American Spanish dub as an AI beta dub. Half of them have been taken down. They are all a dumpster fire.
It's just the dumb thing is that they put the Banana Fish one out. It got negative reviews for the dub because it's an AI dub. Of course it got negative reviews.
Mm.
So they took that down. And then immediately put Vinland Saga up with the AI dub.
I know.
As though they hadn't learned a damn thing. The problem with these people, to quote John Cleese, these people are so stupid, they really have no concept of how stupid they are.
Yeah.
They would have already made it, so they were like, well, we have to release it to see if it'll make some money. Maybe it's just the gays that hate the AI.
But they did the same thing with No Game, No Life as well. That came out the same time as Banana Fish, the AI dub. And everyone was like, ew, what is this? Go away. Don't you already have an English dub of this normally? Like, what is happening right now?
Yeah. It's also worth mentioning that Kadokawa released a statement about it, and ANN has also reached out to Aniplex about it as well. Kadokawa stated that it has not approved an AI dub in any form. Hi-Dive stated it was not aware in advance of AI dubs and is looking into it with Amazon. Aniplex has not issued a statement as of the time of this article going out or any updates since. Several of the dubs have been removed. Many actors and voice actors have been fairly vocal about it for good reason, because this is disgusting and Amazon has so much money, it is unbelievable that they would stoop to this. Like we mentioned this previously, AI is not a tool for the masses. AI is a tool to further expand the gap between the rich and the poor by taking more money from those who do not have it to the rich, to CEOs for bigger bonuses by cost cutting. It is not a tool which is going to help us in the long run, and it is not being used as a tool to help us in the long run.
And just
so we shouldn't be supporting it in any shape or form.
Watching people online defending the use of AI
It's the same as people defending their favorite billionaire. Because they're gonna take pity on you and give you money. No. No, they're not. They're not geniuses. They're people who are born into privilege. I'm on my soapbox, I'm sorry.
You can't get that rich without exploitation.
You cannot.
Actually impossible.
Yeah. I saw a great one as well about, like, if you went back, 6 million years, and you started saving $10,000 every day between then and now, you still would not have as much money as Gina Reinhart. And she's not even in the top 10 richest people in the world.
Yeah, I think it was like you go back to the time of Jesus Christ.
No, it's 6,000 years.
Yeah.
6,000 years.
And yeah, you start saving $10,000 a day, you still would be have less money than Gina Reinhart.
Yeah, and she's not even in the 100 top... Top one, she's in the top 100, but not by much.
And it's just, like, what's the damned point? You can't take it with you.
Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, this
it's
is...
a flex.
I mean, this is the thing as well, like, we're getting way off topic here, but Tesla fired heaps of staff and then authorized an insane multi-million-dollar bonus for Musk. That money is better spent on staff. Like, these are not companies looking out for us, so don't support them.
I don't know if it's true because I haven't actually had a chance to fact check it yet, but I heard that a lot of them are selling their stocks at the moment.
Oh, yeah. So if, for those unaware, sorry, this is going like, full on the AI tangent. So AI at the moment, the companies who are all invested in AI are basically swapping about $1 trillion between each of them. And it's just backwards and forwards in agreements. No money has actually been exchanged, but that has caused all their stock prices to go up. It's like, I promised to give you $1 million if you give buy $1 million of my stuff, so you get the stuff for free. But we'll wait till it gets to that point and then we'll do it.
Like, a lot of them are selling up.
And
like
now,
Amazon has sold like 20% of their stocks or something like that, like Facebook. And even, who's like the OG? Oh, JP Morgan.
Yeah.
Like the rich man of rich men kind of thing has sold stock who
famously
does not sell stock.
Yeah.
Look, like in 18 years, they've never sold any and they've started doing it now.
And what's happening now...
All at the same time.
They're all selling their stock. The only people who are buying it, and this is highly concerning, is investment companies for general people, so group investment bonds, retirement funds, and Japan. Because Japan still has that fear of being left out of the next boom after missing the dot-com boom. And Japan in particular, I'm really worried about this. SoftBank just bought 20%, I believe, off Nvidia. I'm really worried for SoftBank. Like, SoftBank has made some bad decisions in the past, but they underpin a lot of anime studios. So we cannot afford SoftBank to be losing money on it, because that will affect the anime industry, and in turn that will affect the international release capabilities and so many other things. It has massive carry-on.
And if that goes, they'll try to look for support elsewhere, such as Amazon or Disney.
Well,
or
if that goes, they will start looking at AI for their international distributions. So it comes full circle to this mess. So do not support it. Do not invest in it. It is a scam. It is a bubble. It is going to crash. This is not official investment advice. I am not a professional financial advisor, yada, yada, yada. But don't do it. It's the same as NFTs. It is the same as Bitcoin. Like, there are people who can get rich off it. That time has passed.
It's like, it's not you.
It's not us.
You think that it's you, but it's not.
Yeah.
But what am I supposed to do with all these bored apes?
Print them out and
release them to the wild.
Yeah. But anyway, the AI dubbing is probably not going to go anywhere yet. This is probably going to be an ongoing issue. We need to keep pushing back against it and rating it poorly, because it does not. Voice actors are an important part of anime culture. They are an important part of the community. They deserve to get paid for their job.
Just everyone out there, please keep in mind that we managed to completely reverse the design of Sonic for a movie.
Yeah.
Bully them.
That's right.
Yeah.
Upset
relentlessly.
Them.
Yeah.
Make them cry.
Yeah.
Just
hurt
them.
The only way we can change anything is to take away our coin. Yeah. That is the only thing that will actually hurt them.
Oh, and insult them.
And fire. But we can only do one of those things.
Yeah. I wonder if I should cancel my Amazon Prime subscription and say the reason I'm leaving is because of the dubs.
Maybe. Yeah. A lot of people did do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. All right. Well, look, we've kind of gotten the soapbox a little bit here. We're about to do it again.
Let's go. And now for the next box.
Netflix has entered an agreement to acquire Warner Brothers, HBO, and HBO Max. This will literally see they are... So Netflix being the biggest streamer in the world, HBO being third, that is a monopoly.
I'm not allowed to swear.
Mm-hmm. No. They've offered... So there are multiple other groups who have all been vying for it. I don't know why Warner Brothers is selling, considering how much they have had positive, you know, funds in the last couple of years going up with their investment into HBO and HBO Max's streaming service.
Because the boss made a massive amount of money off this sale. You're That's the right. one and only reason.
Yeah. So Warner Bros. Japan in particular is involved in several anime properties, including over 80 anime titles, including Is It Wrong to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon, Spy X Family, Food Wars, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. I don't know why Record of Ragnarok in there because it is in there because it's not big. they're also involved in properties such as Godzilla, Gintama, Death Note, and Rurouni Kenshin. So HBO also has the agreement with G-Kids for the entire Studio Ghibli film library. And Crunchyroll was previously part of Warner Media as well before they were bought by Sony. So there's a lot of things that are going to get truly messed up because, let's be brutally honest here, Netflix have no idea how to run themselves. Like, it's them having to run a completely separate, much larger organization underneath them is going to spell disaster. And Netflix, much like Amazon, are embracing the AI. It is not going to be good.
See, so, remember how we just talked about how we bullied studio interchanges and how we could vote with our wallets. And that was exactly one of the reasons other than fire or bullying them. No, use fire on this one.
Yeah, I was like, bullying's not enough.
I will say as well, I think someone from the SAG, like, union as well is stepping in. So they actually, this might not necessarily go through because they're looking at whether or not it's viable and how that affects the actual industry itself if someone has that big of a monopoly on everything.
The problem is all they have to do is make a certain political leader a gift of, I don't know, $2 million and or a new
small loan.
$2 million is nothing.
Or like a golden
ballroom scale.
A ballroom. It'll get pushed through regardless. And this is the problem at the moment with the way the US is being handled. This is why we're seeing the rise of monopolies because just like Trump,
we shouldn't do politics. It helps the rich.
They've been planning this for years.
They have. Things are not looking good in the next few years for films and anime. And we have major concerns on how that's going to impact the industry we know and love. So, yeah. Keep it in mind. Vote with your wallets. Make sure we do what we can to protect, you know, this industry that we all love so much.
And just bully anyone that supports billionaires.
Yeah.
Make them cry.
Look, we don't condone bullying.
Well.
But when it's an organization.
No, you bully up.
You bully up.
Don't bully down.
Don't punch down, punch up. Because, yeah, like it's. Yeah. Look, and we're going. This is the last show of the year, and we've gotten so heavy on so many things. I'm sorry.
We needed to get it all out.
It's been a long year.
It has been a long year, and we've seen a lot of awful things happen, particularly coming out of the US when it comes to media and how things are being managed.
When it comes to everything.
Yeah. I mean, keep in mind Paramount, their acquisition of something only happened because they gave money as well, and that was also trying to be blocked by SAG.
It's just, I'm positive I've mentioned it before. There was a quote in a Terry Pratchett book, which was from an ancient Chinese sort of insult / curse. It is, may you live in interesting times.
It's not Chinese. No, it's a lie. That was used as like a line in a film, and that has propagated the belief. It's actually from a British author. Yeah, but it was like a British author in like the 1840s or something like that. The origin of it has nothing to do with China.
It's just sort of borrowed, passed around, and
it's very English to like come up with a line and then mystify it by adjoining it to some sort of Asian culture.
Applying it to the Orient. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
But yes,
it's from the Orient, therefore it's right and mystical.
But yes, it's
Mr. Miyagi said it.
But yeah, I first read it in a Terry Pratchett book and I just thought it was a funny little line back then.
I heard these days kids are using wabi-sabi as an insult.
Wabi-sabi?
Really?
Have you heard of this?
What
is wabi-sabi?
Wabi-sabi is the appreciation of imperfection in
Yes.
Yeah, it became popular because of a King of the Hill quote.
Oh, yeah.
Where they're doing their
bonsai
trees.
Be like a nice thing, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's the beauty, because it's very Japanese to appreciate the beauty of things that are either imperfect or...
Not conventionally beautiful.
Broken and repaired.
No. Impermanent.
Oh.
Like the sakura flowers are appreciated so much because they're only
fleeting.
There for... Yeah,
and
exactly.
The people
the beauty
using
and
this
impermanence
as an insult.
Infection,
now.
Right? Yeah, because kids are like, oh, I like your outfit. It's got wabi-sabi. As in like, outfit's garbage. But I said that I liked it, so...
Oh, this is going
back
to Mean Girls.
It's like a backhanded compliment.
That's exactly, how
hell?
The kids are using it, apparently.
It's the whole Regina George thing.
I can
thing.
See it.
Yes, yes.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It is not... Yeah. Okay, so May You Live in Interesting Times isn't even that ancient. It's 1936. and it were, the phrase was introduced in as the form of interesting age, rather interesting times. It appears in the opening remarks by Frederick R. Cordart at the Proceedings of the Academy of Political Science. Some years ago, I had to write a dear and honoured friend of mine who has since died, brother, and I concluded my letter with a rather bland, banal remark that we were living in interesting times, 1936, World War II. So there you go.
I am.
Yeah.
I suppose it could be worse.
Yeah.
But yes, it's just that.
The fact that that's still applicable
today
to the time,
almost 100 years later.
Yeah. But yeah, look, let's get on some more positive notes.
No.
The 71st Shugakukan Manga Awards have been announced. There are some amazing ones involved and listed in this. Obviously, we have to talk about the big names, and that's Dan to Dan. Obviously, noted again. Nominees for this... best. Oh, they've stopped dividing the nominees into categories. So there's no more categories. It used to be best children's, best shonen, best shoujo, best general. Now it's just all of them can qualify for anything.
That's good because there's so much crossover these days.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that's true.
Dog Meets Baby Cats, which was serialized in cheese with an exclamation mark. That's a magazine.
I want it.
I also want cheese.
That is adorable.
Oh my god, Dog Meets Baby Cats.
Look at
it. Yeah.
Look at
oh
it.
Oh my god, yes. Let's go.
Did this just get made because someone watched a bunch of those YouTube videos?
Possibly.
I'm not complaining. That's wonderful.
This very much looks like a Shonen Power series. It's Unmei what? No Makido Shai.
Oh, I thought she was still throwing out the dog.
No.
Orewa Inu-san.
That's a Korokoro comics.
There goes my afternoon.
Fall in Love, You False Angel. Cosmos, which I've been reading, which is a Sunday GX. Cosmos is amazing. If you can read it, get a hold of it. Currently online, they're missing one chapter in English. So I used literally the translate function on my phone.
That is a cute girl with devil horns holding a phone.
The world is filled with aliens who are visiting.
Yes.
Cosmos's job is basically like MIB.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cosmos.
Yeah.
Called Cosmos. Cosmos. The Cosmos agents go around and audit them, check in on them. Some people come to Earth to have a gap year in a high school. So obviously they've got
it's
a human
the mysterious
form.
Transfer students.
Exactly. That is the joke. It's where all the mysterious transfer students come from. They're aliens.
What is this? This is awesome.
Yeah.
This is
I started
great.
Reading it a couple of weeks ago.
They need to make this into an anime.
This needs to be made into an anime. It has been tagged. It did get listed for the Manga Taisho Awards last year, I believe. We're at about 40 chapters
so
far.
What's it called again? Cosmos.
Cosmos.
The problem, anything else?
Cosmos. The author... Yeah, well, this is the problem. There's a lot of anime titles with Cosmos in them.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is by Tamura Ryuihei. And it is fantastic. Like, this could be the next underdone. Because it has got goofy stuff in it. It's good fun. But it is also highly violent in some scenes. There's Dan to Dan meets Jujutsu Kaisen would probably be
quite.
Like there are moments where it's the Dan to Dan goofiness. There are moments where it goes all the way to like the Jujutsu Kaisen level fights.
So it's just the new Jujutsu Kaisen.
Yeah.
It's Japanese Men in Black. I'm sold.
Yeah,
when
right.
High school student
I'm not allowed to swear.
Katie is hired to use his uncanny ability to sniff out fact from fiction for Cosmos, an intergalactic insurance agency. He embarks on a journey that is out of this world.
Yeah. So he can tell if someone's lying.
So cool. By licking them?
No, just he can smell it. So it's worse, really.
I don't know. I'd rather be sniffed than licked.
Fair. There's...
Quote of the day.
I don't know what Jumbo Max is, but it looks very similar to like... oh, what's it called? My love story. Mm. Like, giant, big guy, you know, and beautiful girl. But that's good.
Together, they fight crime.
Yeah.
Yes, Toto.
Fun fact, that's actually being serialized in that's Big Comic.
Big.
Dandadan's been listed. The Earthbound Mole as well.
That was a good game.
That's a really long title. He no kamisam so god no sojini dezuga itsu no maneki
hanayome
toshike daikai sera taimasu.
That is a long title.
You need to work on your pronunciation.
Yeah, that was terrible. look, I'm very out of practice, actually. I need to get back to my studying. And Hirayasumi, which looks like it's sort of slice of life. Firefly Wedding, which looks kind of a little bit like it could be Yakuza Fiancé related. Like, the girl is in like a traditional sort of Japanese wedding gown. The guy's covered in blood and she's wiping it away.
Ooh. Oh, that sounds me. That's
that
for me.
That sounds you. Okay.
Yeah,
oh,
that is for me.
And dealing with the Mikadono sisters is a breeze. That had an anime last season. I was going to look at it, but I didn't get around to it. It's another classic harem sort of sisters thing. I don't know. They all have different colored hair because apparently they're, are related. anyway, let's move on. We've got a couple of quick bits and pieces here for the cinema and then we can wrap up. So Fujimoto, who we talked about the last three episodes, is back again. Tatsuki Fujimoto's Look Back manga is getting a live action film. The casting looks so fantastic already. It looks to be really good, well done. I'm looking forward to it.
We watched that.
Yes, we did. We watched the animated version. Yeah. He's like, we did an episode on it like 6 weeks ago. G-Kids is screening the new Lupin the Third Immortal Bloodline anime film in January.
Yes.
So hopefully that means more international release from it. This is a new feature-length film in the Lupin the Third franchise that is traditionally animated. It is part of the woman named Fujiko Mine timeline, so this is the more mature, adult-oriented one. Bit more of a gritty art and design to it. That's coming as well. And Studio Ghibli has got 4K restorations to debut on almost all of its films in IMAX. So that's going to be really good.
IMAX, that's awesome.
And we've got an IMAX in Perth now. Yeah. It's just open.
Yes.
It's sort of going back to the whole Netflix-Warner Brothers merger. The head of Netflix said that, people don't want to go to the cinemas anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then here just comes Ghibli like... Hey, we're going to take all our movies.
Yeah.
We're going to put them on the cinema and just see what happens.
People don't want to get into the movies anymore. Hold my beer.
Yeah. Hold my sake.
The irony, though, that like people bullied Netflix into releasing Frankenstein in the cinemas releasing them in more cinemas. So, like, how are you not listening?
Yeah. Same with K-pop Demon Hunters.
K-pop Demon Hunters, Netflix barred it from being released, which is why they had to do the sing-along version. It's a different product from the release on there. That's the only way they could get it to the cinemas.
And I mean,
but even
sorry, you go first.
I was gonna say, even the new Knives Out is in cinemas right now, which is a Netflix film, because people are asking for more cinema releases. Mm-hmm. So like, I just don't understand why their CEO is saying something the opposite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, it wasn't that long ago we had the whole Barbenheimer thing. Barbie to go and watch a nuclear bomb.
Would they make more money by getting people to subscribe and then forgetting to cancel their subscription than if they went to the cinemas to watch it?
I don't think they would.
No?
I don't think they would.
Because that's the only thing that I would think of. It's money related. It's always got to be money related.
It's always money related, but that's because Netflix keep thinking that they can gatekeep their stuff so that people will only sign up. And the thing is that people don't want to give Netflix money. They will happily miss out. And that's become the thing because
pirate.
This is the thing.
Yeah.
The prices have become so high, or you can even the entry level has ads, so you're paying and still getting ads.
So, and you can only watch it on like two screens now. They've locked it all down.
Yeah. People do not want to give Netflix money because they're being anti-consumer. Yeah. Makes
sense.
Creedy. Show mm-hmm. me a 10-foot wall and I'll show you a 12-foot ladder.
Yeah, unfortunately that website got shut down.
Yes.
Yeah, by legal order, which was 12, for those not unaware, 12-foot ladder allowed you to view pages which had paywalls.
Wow.
Mm. Huh.
Because it's like the news information should be free. And look, yes. I get it coming from, like, all of us, I think, understand it coming from media backgrounds. The news has to be paid for somehow. Mm-hmm. Make better content.
Well, it's also like, let's not pretend that media moguls aren't getting paid right now.
Exactly. This is the thing.
Come on, look at the largest media.
The Murdochs.
Media things in the entire world. They're all billionaires.
Yeah.
They're getting paid.
And then they're saying there's no money. It's greed. It's all it is. Anyway, moving on from that. So G-Kids and IMAX are partnering to do the 4K releases. The 4K restorations are going to be directly from the original reels, apparently. So these are going to be beautiful. These are the ones that Studio Ghibli has kept in-house, in a controlled environment for this purpose to obviously make sure they... stand the test of time. This is going to be incredible. The original picture and sound elements are being lovingly and meticulously restored in 4K by Studio Ghibli, and we are beyond excited to be able to share the results with our audiences. So I'm very hopeful that this means over the next couple of years, we will be able to go see the Ghibli films in 4K, come back here and tell you about them because... there's nothing better than seeing a film and then immediately popping down afterwards to sit down and talk about it because you're so fresh, your feelings and emotions are so vivid. Like, we had such a good episode after we went and saw Mononoke together as a group. Fantastic.
And free pins.
And free pins, yes. and the last couple of things we need to cover. There is an interesting anime series coming for our horror fans. This is called Horror Collector. It's a series of novels, so it's not a manga. It's not a... not a light novel series. Excuse me. It is part of their JY for Kids middle grade imprint. So this might be kind of a little bit, I wouldn't say childish, but it won't be heavy horror themes. It'll be like PG horror themes. But if the storytelling is good, who cares?
That's me. It's spooky, not scary.
Yeah, exactly. Nice. So the internet is full of creep. Oh, sorry. There are drawings for the novel series which have been used. So the internet is fully creepypastas, cryptids, sightings, tales of paranormal activity, and unsolved disappearances. These are mostly rumors and pranks fueled by trolls for entertainment. But the unlucky few learn the hard way that some legends are true. Many of these unfortunate souls are doomed, but their luck may change if they cross paths with the boy in the Red Hood. He roams from town to town and appears wherever strange things occur. Is he a light in the dark or living proof that monsters are all too real? This was adapted into a manga in 2021-2022 for a brief run in one volume. I believe there are 6 volumes of the novel so far and there continues to be more being published. I'm guessing the
manga... What's it called again?
It is just called Horror Collector.
As a regular consumer of the creepypasta stuff, I am so ready for this.
Yeah. This is expected to air on NHK TV Japan General in fall 2026, so it is going to align with Halloween. We don't have an episode count. We don't know if this is going to just be 4 episodes or if it'll be a full season. I hope it's a full 12-episode run. Could be good. Anyway, moving on from that, Golden Kamuy's final part, which we mentioned earlier, is debuting January 5th. It's the final arc of the story. And Terraformers manga is resuming on December 18. It's been on hiatus since April 10. And before that, it was on hiatus for like 5 years. So it's not going to be for everyone. It's weird. It's human sent cockroaches to Mars to use them to generate CO2 and to help terraform the planet. Somehow the cockroaches became human sized and it's really unnerving. They're much stronger than humans. They're much more dangerous. There's a lot going on. There's a lot underneath it. They think people artificially accelerated them to use them as weapons and stuff like that. It's a fascinating story.
Humans are full of bad ideas.
Humans are full of bad ideas.
Look at Jurassic Park.
Yes. Yeah.
What if
humans are so excited about bad ideas?
We billionaires get so excited about bad ideas.
Skynet.
Yeah. Don't worry, current AI isn't actually able to become sentient because it's just really good predictive text.
Or so we think.
No, it's been confirmed. Anyway, moving right along. Thanks for listening. Time to get out of here.
Wi-Fi Radio.
Apothecary Diaries is getting a live action.
Oh, yeah.
You got to mention that during the news?
We didn't.
Everybody's excited about that.
And they did also include the... We've had the girl for Mau Mau announced, who was the actor everyone was saying would be perfect for us. So.
She's perfect.
Yeah. Meow, meow.
Yeah. Also, Trigun Stargaze is next month as well. I keep forgetting to mention that too. So that's the second part. I believe that'll be the end of the story. So here we go. But we've got Millie. So yeah.
And Witch Hat Italia.
Yes. Lots of things
I don't
next
know if
month.
Witch Hat Italia is confirmed for January yet. It's hoped... that
we
it is January,
April,
so. But it's yeah, first half of the year. So hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll get it then. I know a lot of us are waiting for it. April debut confirmed and locked in,
like
which
it was
is good.
Supposed to be like a couple of months ago, was it? And then they released a statement saying, look, we're pushing it back because we want to give it a bit more polish.
Mm-hmm.
And then they dropped the trailer for it, and you're just like, ooh.
Yeah, please keep polishing.
Good polish.
Yeah, I can appreciate that.
Yeah.
When they're just like straight up, we just want to make it a bit better.
Mm-hmm.
And then it is.
Yeah.
And then it is better.
Yeah. It's like fair.
Yeah. Now that is where we're going to leave things for this episode. Thank you so much for listening and for joining us this year. This is our last episode for the year. It's why all of us are here that could be here. It's greatly appreciated to have you joining us and listening to us. We do appreciate your time. It's why our episodes aren't 3 hours because, like, you have things to do. So do we. Tifa's like, gotta go to work.
Creating new content.
Yeah. Next year, so we've got a lot of stuff that we're gonna update and plan and change over the Christmas break. There's not gonna be like a massive change to the way we operate, but we are gonna update stings, graphics. We've got plans for new social media, so we're actually active on there because let's be honest, getting me, who has ADD, to do it is a terrible idea. So Aaron and Tifa...
We're going to get AI to do it.
No.
You ruined the day! AI is Aaron's intelligence.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Which is zero.
So Aaron and Tifa are going to help me with social media. They are going to be given the keys to the kingdom, which is horrifying and amazing at the same time. Horrifying for Aaron, amazing for Tifa because she's fantastic at socials.
I've got an idea for a video already, and I want to kind of do it and then like show it to you afterwards.
Please do.
So yeah. Apologize after the fact.
Yeah.
Don't ask permission.
Yes, of course.
Well, look, as long as we follow the same we have for here, there's no swearing and there's nothing, you know, lewd. As long as we can appeal to the PG category, we're good.
And
There was a pause.
There was a pause because what he was going to do was probably a H-rated series. The next episode will be in the new year. We will be telling you about the new anime season. It will already be underway. And then it's the Anime Awards, which we've changed the format for this year. And I think it worked a lot better because we could all talk about what we enjoyed for each genre. If you have enjoyed what you heard, subscribe. Patreon. Big thanks to our Patreon members, especially this year. You have a gift coming in the mail soon. It is a new beautiful keychain that I managed to prototype on the 3D printer. So I hope that is useful for you in some shape or form.
You can put it on your celebratory tree.
Yeah. Yay. Yeah. Yeah. Whatever tree that might be. That might be a dead tree in some people's cases because, like me, they have a black thumb when it comes to gardening. This episode, the subscribe button has egg. So eggs behind it. They are not Easter eggs and they are not ostrich eggs.
And they're not Kinder Surprise eggs because they're not allowed in America.
Such a shame. Hit subscribe button. Do all the good things. It's been an amazing year. Thank you for sticking with us. Our Patreon members, we love you so much for sticking with us and supporting us. And if you'd like to follow us, we are on socials. But that's where we're going to wrap things up. You've been listening to Wi-Fi Radio. Thank you for joining us. And I hope you have a great year. And until next time,
watch some anime!
I'm hungry for egg.
Can we do like an omelette?
I know a place.
Export.
Egg!